Turn to Romans chapter 4. We're on the fourth teaching of this mystery. This is what our quest is here. We don't want to build a church. We want to see the kingdom come. And I mean, really see it come. I mean, understand the mysteries and the understanding of the kingdom of God and the transference of the spiritual kingdom, the invisible kingdom that's residing in the right hand of God. But we want to see its manifestation in the earth. Praise the Lord. This particular series has given us a master key. We're going to go down this road a little further today. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says the visible things of the world were clearly seen. Invisible things of God were clearly seen in the creation of the world, even his eternal power and the Godhead. And he gave a master key right there when he's saying the eternal power is a word called dunamis. This is what we're about, dunamis right now, and its role in answered prayer. He says the invisible things that God created the world were clearly seen in the creation of the world. Though it is invisible, God employed what is invisible to create. The kingdom of God is always going to begin in the realm of the invisible. But it's seen with the eye of faith, and it's caught the essence of it. Now, faith is the substance, a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, our first couple of teachings, we broke that down, and we're understanding now the substance. There's substance and there is evidence. We know the evidence is the word of God, is the evidence of the thing we cannot see. But we're looking right now is the substance. What is that substance by which God, it's an invisible substance, but God creates the world with it, praise the Lord. And he's going to create your future with it. Amen. Now we're going to look at this today in the life of Abraham. So Romans chapter 4. We're going to be in verse 17. We're going to look at Abraham's faith, secret of his faith. Romans 4, verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things that be not as though they were. He says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he staggered not at the promise of God. Say, staggered not. Staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. I mean, that's just awesome. Well, who wants that kind of faith? That faith changed the world right there. Well, we're going to look at this faith. He carried the word of God for 25 years before he saw the promise. Genesis chapter 17, for the sake of time. God came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and he began to give him a succession of promises. Chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 16, here's chapter 17. And for 25 years, God reaffirmed. How many of you ever had God reaffirming your promise, but you have not seen the manifestation of it? But he's always reaffirming it. In other words, it doesn't leave you. He carried it for 24 years and 9 months. Before he ever saw anything. Actually, he carried it for 25 years before he actually saw it. But he did see it before he saw it. You should write that down. Faith sees before it sees. Faith sees before you see. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We want substance and we want evidence. For the substance and the evidence is what the Holy Spirit employs. It's what he employed in the creation of the world and what he's going to employ again in his last hour. He employs substance and he employs evidence. And if you don't have those working inside of you, the Holy Spirit does not have what he needs to create the kingdom of God. You really need to listen to those first three teachings. So Genesis 17, we're going to pick the story up. It's going to get very interesting here in Genesis chapter 17. Abraham's 99 now. He'd been carrying the promise for 24 years. He tried an Eleazar, the servant. Remember Eleazar? He said, God, how about Eleazar? Let's make him the heir. See, when you carry the promise, the one thing about the promise of God, it has to come by promise. It's not going to come by you or any human ingenuity that you can think of. And Abraham got a little tired of carrying the promise early. How many of you ever carried it early and you think you're about to birth and you might be a little while? And Abraham got tired. He said, how about this Eleazar? Born in my house, be perfect. He's like my own son. God, let's make him the heir. God said, no, won't do. So, but see, you're not always finished with an Eleazar. You should be finished with an Eleazar. Keep you out of a lot of trouble. But if you got a capacity, because remember the Bible says Abraham had two sons. He had one of promise and one of the flesh. We all have the capacity for two sons. Along your journey in carrying the word of God is God's going to purge one of those sons from you. He's going to purge the son of the flesh because it's not coming by the flesh. The deep things of God, the high things of God do not come by the flesh. Can't be produced by flesh. Got to be done by promise. Amen. So the next thing he had is the Ishmael. So he had to get it out. Say, get it out. You're going to have to get it out one way or another. If you want 100-fold, whoo, gospel. If you want it, you're going to have to get the other son out. Because it's only going to come one way. And that's God's way. It's Yahweh. Not your way, Yahweh. So Abraham been at it for a while. But God is faithful with the promise. Constantly come and reaffirm you. Sometimes you need that affirmation from heaven. Amen. Sometimes you need it from man. But God will reaffirm. And here he is in the midnight hour. God's reaffirming. But something's going to happen to Abraham. Something's going to give Abraham. Because he didn't have this testimony early in his life. The Romans 4. Stagger not at the promise of God. Full of faith. Giving glory to God. Didn't consider his body now dead, not of the deadness. I mean, you think he's superhuman, but he wasn't. I mean, he's 24 years, and we're going to find out in this chapter, he is totally full of unbelief. At 99 years old. All right, ready? Genesis 17. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, Sarah was 90, he was 99. I mean, he'd been carrying it. You know he gave birth at 100. Just roll right over real quick to Genesis 21. Just roll right over there. I believe it's verse 5. We don't know when Abraham gave birth. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Say 100. So everything between Genesis 17 and Genesis 21 all happens in the space of 1 year. I want to see the state of Abraham at 99. I know the state of Abraham when he gave birth because Romans 4 said his state. Stagger not at the promise of God. Consider not his own body now dead. That's not his state at age 99. Which is good news for us. Because God can empower us really fast. What took 24 years? He didn't get anywhere. And really in 3 months, could have had 9 months for the babe. In 3 months, which he couldn't do in 24 years, God did in 3 months. So don't think just because you've been carrying and carrying and carrying and seeing nothing and seeing nothing and seeing nothing, staring down at faith. Listen, you're going to give birth if you do not faint. But we got to find out what God's looking for to give birth. There's something that's got to come out of heaven to help us. Everyone say, send us help, Lord. Go back to Genesis 17. Abraham was 90 years old, 9. The Lord appeared to Abraham. Said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. He starts reaffirming the promise. But he does something interesting. He changes his name. Verse 5, he says, neither shall thy name be more called Abraham, but thou be called Abraham. You're a father of many nations. changes what he says about him, changes his entire outlook. This is not the first time God came to him. God started coming to him in Genesis chapter 12. He changed his name. Now drop down to verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, changes her name too. Listen, if you're a carrier of promise, God is going to shift your identity. He's going to shift the way you see things. He's going to shift the way you believe, the way you talk. He's going to change it all. You can be walking around talking unbelief all the time. I mean, you got to be connected. I mean, you're going to have to hunger for the things of God. If you want God, you have to hunger for the things of God. Say hunger. Go get hungry in the spirit. Now, verse 16, I like this part. It says, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Now, God's been telling Abraham, I'll make your descendants the stars of the heavens, sand of the seashore. He's going, yeah, God, yeah, God. He fell on his face. Say, glory. He just didn't know how God was going to do it. He didn't know. God's going to tell him right here. I'm going to do it this way, right here. He said, I'm going to give you a son of her. Yeah, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings shall come out of her loins. This is mighty Abraham. Romans chapter 4, staggering not the promise of God, full of faith, considering not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. You ready for mighty Abraham at 99 years old? And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said, where in his heart, where all faith dwells, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Then he said some words that I guarantee he wish he could pull back. And I wish he'd pulled back. And you wish he'd pulled back. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live forever. And that birthed it right there. Does that sound like faith to you? I mean, fully persuaded faith, staggering not the promise of God faith, considering not the deadness of his own body and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Did that sound like full of faith? Absolutely not. He was full of unbelief. He said, oh, that Ishmael might live forever. And God said, all right, I'm going to make a nation out of him. And that nation is at war with Isaac even today. Only God's going to be able to put that fire out. Man is not going to put that fire out. Only God is. God said something very remarkable, verse 21. He says, my covenant will I establish with Isaac. Look, I'm going to make a nation out of Ishmael because you said it, Abraham. But my covenant I'm going to establish with Isaac. And he said to him, he said, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. He's 99. He gives birth at 100. God says at this very time next year, she's going to bear. That means you better get it together, boy, because you got 3 months. Because it's going to take her 9 months. Basically, God's saying, I'm giving you 3 months to do what you could not do in 24 years, but no pressure. Mighty man of faith. Mighty man of valor. How'd you like God to come to you and tell you, what you couldn't do in 25 years, you got 3 months. That's what he's telling him right here. 3 months. I like that. A lot of hope, especially if I can identify what happened to Abraham, what gave him the faith. He carried the word. He kept the word. But he was lacking. He found it. You know he found it because Romans 4 said he found it. Praise the Lord forever. God must have revealed that to Paul. Because I don't know where Paul found that he was full of faith, giving glory to God. God had to reveal that to him. All right, go to Genesis chapter 18. Now, Abraham laughed. Sarah had to have her time as well. Abraham laughed. It was time for Sarah. Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared to him again in the plains of Mamre. Look at verse 9. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah? These two men in the Lord, it's specifically the Lord because he's talking to him. And two angels visited him. And they said to him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, she's in the tent. And he said, I will certainly. Now he says something very interesting. In the previous chapter, he says, at this set time, your son will give birth. Sarah will give birth at this set time next year. But he says something different here. He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Say, according to the time of life. This is different than what he said in chapter 17. Chapter 17 said, you'll have a son this set time next year. Telling Abraham, I'm going to return unto you according to the time of life. A better way to say that is I'm going to return you, Sarah, to the time of life-giving birth. Because he did more than just open her womb at 90 years old. He pulled her clock back. He pulled her body back. Can you prove that? Oh, I guarantee I can prove it. Just hang on. She's 90, right? He says, I'm going to return you, Sarah, to the time of life. I'm going to return not only your womb, I'm going to return your body, your countenance, and your beauty. And Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old, say old, and well stricken. Well stricken. I mean, they've been struck. I mean, they were well stricken. Now, remember that scripture here in a minute. Because God's telling and promising, I'm going to turn the clock back on your health, on your body, on your countenance. I'm going to make you beautiful again, Sarah. I'm going to draw you back where you're not old and well stricken anymore. I'm going to take the struck. In verse 12, here's mighty Sarah. Her answer of faith. You know, Romans 11 said, by faith, Sarah received power. Received strength. God created a womb. I mean, she's full of faith like Abraham. Here's her answer. Verse 12, and therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, she's even admitting she's waxed old. I mean, how old can you get? Well, stricken, and I am waxed old. Can my servant have pleasure again? God, are you kidding me? Does this sound anything like faith? Shall my Lord have pleasure? I'm 90 years old. Lord said, oh, Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, I shall surely bear a child. Is anything too hard for the Lord? If you understand what makes the kingdom work, nothing is too hard for the Lord. What you cannot do in 24 years, God can do in 3 months. If you understand what they received. Hallelujah. And he says it again. At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. What he's saying, at the appointed time, I'm going to turn you back, Sarah, to the time of life. I'm going to make you beautiful again. In fact, I'll make you so beautiful, kings are going to desire you. She became a hottie all of a sudden. He said, I'm going to turn you back, Sarah. He didn't send to recreate her womb. He turned her back. They were turned back. Say, turn back. Must have turned her back into her 30s, maybe 40s. Maybe pull 50 years off of her countenance, 50 years off of her body, 50 years of age, wiped it all out in 3 months. Is anything too hard for the Lord? How do you know that that's what he was saying? Because Abimelech wanted her. In the next chapter, he wanted her. Either he had major issues or she was just drop dead gorgeous. He was king of Gerar. Go to Genesis chapter 20. I'll show it to you. You remember she said in her mouth, I am old. I have waxed old. God shifted her identity. Before you give birth, God's going to change everything. He is going to shift you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You can stare down the promise of God for 50 years, and in 3 months, God can make it happen. Most of that time is to get you out of the way. Get Ishmael out. Get the Eliezers out. Get all the works out. It be of works, it's not of grace. It be of grace, it's not of works. Diametrically opposed to one another. Isaac must be born of promise. No other way. God had to wait. Because Abraham didn't give him any other choice. He had to wait till they're all both dead in the womb. His birthing back to these dead herds, dead, dead womb. Everything dead. God said, now we're ready. You can't help me no more. In some ways, when they laughed, a lot of unbelief, but some ways, what they were saying is, we're done. Ain't no way this is going to happen by us. Sometimes you got to get to that place where it's no more of you. God put you in a circumstance that's absolutely impossible. You can't go the right. You can't go the left. You can't go forward or backwards. The only way you can go is go up. That's it. The only place you can look is up. You can't even look down no more. I mean, you got so low, there's nowhere else to go. I'm at the bottom. All I do is look up. You have to be done. God's not going to burst something out of you when you're not done. He's going to shove you back in the oven until you're done. Nobody likes to get cooked. Nobody likes the fire. But until you're done, you're not ready to birth the kingdom. The kingdom cometh not by human observation. It cometh not by flesh. It cometh not by works. It's not by might, not by power. But it does come by keys. There are certain keys that make the kingdom work. Abraham could have sat here another 50 years like this, but he got something. Let's look at this real quick. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. And Abraham, remember, she's well stricken. God did it. I remember I told you from Genesis 17 to Genesis chapter 21, it was only 3 months. It was only 1 year. Now, she wasn't pregnant yet. She's probably real close to it right now. God did this. He drew her back. You can tell right now. Watch this. And Abraham, verse 1, journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. We better tell everybody you're my sister. And Abimelech said, I'm glad to meet you. He's a king. He could have anybody he wants. He had a whole house full. In fact, when he took Sarah, God shut the wombs of the entire house. All of them. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, said, I mean, immediately said, take that woman, she mine. I mean, the guy has to be the serious issues, or she was hot. But he didn't even think about it. He just took her. He didn't even ask. He just took her. At 90 years old, Abimelech, really? Really? I guarantee it, God took her from a state of well-stricken age and drew her body straight back. Probably pulled 50 years off her body, off her countenance. Recreated, brought her back to the time of childbearing age, of youthfulness. Hey, that's good news. He says he reneweth my youth like the eagle. King Abimelech wanted her. God said, you're a dead man. He said, I didn't do anything. He said that it was his sister. I mean, I'm just taking the spoil. God said, I know it. I'm saving your hide right now. Don't touch her. Abimelech's probably thinking, probably hard to give her up. Told him, he said, he goes, now listen, you let her go, and God has shut the wombs of all Abimelech's other wives that he was not interested in. Shut all the wombs. God said, now you let her go, and I'll have Abraham. He's a prophet. Abraham's faith is already multiplying now. I mean, he's moved into another position with God altogether. He was in utter unbelief, but now he's in a whole nother place because he's been repositioned too. I mean, what God had promised, he performed and positioned them for birthing. And notice what he says, verse 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he's a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and you will live. He's going to pray for your whole household. Abraham, I mean, he's already moving in the God kind of faith that's listed in Romans chapter 4. I'd like God tell you, send you somewhere in front of a king and say, now pray for them and I'll heal everything. Verse 17, now Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So God healed all that up. Now we know that was probably within 3 months of Genesis chapter 17, because we know that set time of that next year that Abraham, Sarah gave birth to Isaac 100 years old. Now what we want to do is look at what happened. Say, what happened? All right, glad you asked. Go back to Romans chapter 4. We need to know what happened to them. Where did they get this kind of faith? Now, it's very clear that Abraham was the one that received this faith. Amen? So Romans chapter 4, verse 19. It says, now being not weak in faith. Now he's not in Genesis 17 now. He's not in Genesis 18. Probably not in Genesis 19. Definitely now in Genesis chapter 20. Right here. Because their clocks already been turned back. Promises of God have already positioned them for birth. Amen. He said, consider not his own body now dead, neither when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, something happened in their faith. They received something to give them this type of faith. And I want you to go to Hebrews now, chapter 11, verse 11. It tells the result of Abraham's faith. Now, Abraham received it first, but it got on Sarah. Amen? So whatever happened in Romans 4, we're going to look at the result of it in Hebrews 11:11. But Hebrews 11:11 gives us a master key to what happened. Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, during that three-month window, Sarah, what happened that caused Sarah to turn back? What force was given to Sarah that turned her body back to the time of life? What took her? What creative force? What creative power brought her back from a well-stricken age and drew her back to be the envy of kings? What did she receive from heaven? Whatever she received was also what Abraham received. And I call it God's creative power for the invisible things of God. Romans 1:20, are clearly seen by the things that were made, even his eternal dunamis power. Though it be invisible, it was used in the very creation of the world. That creative power was what turned her body back. That creative power is what turned Abraham back. That creative power is what she received. Now look at this again. Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, in 3 months, we could be 3 months away. All that's left is to receive. We have his word. We have his Holy Spirit. Through faith, Sarah herself received. That word strength, guess what that word is? Dunamis. Sarah received the dunamis creative power of God, that not only what it said to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, but it drew her body back, because the dunamis power of God has the creative nature of God in it. Remember when Mary, when the Holy Ghost, you're always going to find these three things. Kingdom of God is like a man that hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was done. You're always going to find 3 major entities in the creation of God and the promises of God and kingdom transference. You're always going to find 3 major components. The first component, one of the most important, is the Holy Ghost. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more should the Father give the Holy Ghost? Because he is the one that not only does the transferring of the dunamis, he does the creating also and the manifesting of the dunamis once it enters into your life. The second component is the Word. All things were made by him, and there was nothing made that was not made. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is a creative power of God, but it also, Romans 1 says, the dunamis power of God. It was the invisible power, but it was used in creation. It was clearly seen by the things that are made. And here it is again with Sarah. Mary said the Holy Ghost could overshadow you, Mary. You're going to be overshadowed with the Holy Ghost and with power. He says the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the dunamis power of the Most High God is going to come over you, and you're going to conceive that holy thing in your womb. It has the power to conceive life. And this is what Abraham received in 3 months that he didn't receive in 24 years, because it was evident that dunamis power is what turned the clock back. Said it right there in Hebrews 11:11. He had the word, but they were lacking that last element. And we see that they received it. Amen. I'm going to go back for a minute to Mark 11, if you would. Now, the faith movement had a lot of these particular revelations. But one of the things the faith movement taught mostly was to receive the image, the word of God, and the image of the thing. But see, there's the creative power that comes with it. You can't miss that. Mark 11, verse 22, and Jesus said to them, have faith in God. He tells you how to faith. You can say in the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. It should obey you. And then he says something very remarkable. Therefore I say unto you, verse 14, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. Say believe that you receive. Now King James will say them, but them is not in the King James. It said believe that you receive and you shall have. Notice where he told you to believe. He didn't tell you to believe you shall have. He said believe that you receive. Because what the Father gives from heaven above is different than what is manifested. Because you remember, I'm going to say this again, remember Philippians 4:19? My God, say my God, shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory. Well, riches in glory are unseen. Riches in glory are spiritual. Riches in glory are invisible. Riches in glory are not here, they're there. Riches in glory is not something you can touch, see with the natural eyes. It's spiritual. It's in glory. But somehow God can take something that's spiritual, which is an inheritance that Christ received, and he can make it natural. He can manifest with it. I said this to somebody the other day. They missed this part because I've been talking about material things. My God supply all your need. Let me say this part. So he said, so have faith in God. So whatsoever things you desire, if it's a tangible thing in the earth, God is not going to, I used this example last week, I'll just use it. If I was believing God for a new ministry bus, he's not going to drop a ministry bus out of heaven. There are no ministry buses in heaven. He's not going to drop that out of the sky, but he is going to drop something that's creative. He's going to send his word. What's he say? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. The evidence of faith comes by the word. It's the evidence. I hold his words, the evidence that I cannot see. But there's another facet of faith called substance. Say substance. Foundational substance, building matter that comes out of heaven. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from above. Father of lights. And there's no variableness, not the shadow turning. The God's not going to drop a bus out of heaven, but he is going to send a good gift and a perfect gift. Sends you the Holy Ghost, sends the word to you. He also sends this substance called dunamis power. It's the creative power of God that causes all things are created. It's this invisible substance that's clearly seen in everything that's been created. And it comes out of heaven, and that's what the Father gives. And so what he said, when you stand praying, whatsoever things you desire, believe what? He didn't say believe for the manifestation. He said believe you receive. Your job is to receive the substance of heaven. You're to receive the Holy Ghost. You're to receive the substance of the universe power. You're to receive the word. That's your job. You're the garden of the Lord. The Holy Ghost is the one that does the manifestation. All the time we've been operating in faith, we think we got to make that happen. You know, pray to a God, but God helps those that help themselves. You can pray all day, but you better get over there and do it yourself. And we think we got to manifest the bus. So mammon comes along and says, oh, you need a ministry bus? I'll give you a ministry bus. Just sign on this dotted line 8 years. No big deal. It's affordable. I'll make it affordable for you. Mammon gives it to you up front, makes you pay for it for 8 years. But God says, what's expensive in the earth? It's paid for in heaven. But you got to get what's in heaven down to the earth. What's in heaven's going to come invisible. It's going to come spiritual, but it's coming from the Father. It's a good gift that comes from the Father. It's a perfect gift. God doesn't give anything imperfect. He'll give you three things to make it happen. He's going to give you the Holy Ghost. He's going to send the word. He's going to give you a substance, a creative substance called dunamis power. And it's your job by faith to receive it. You can't just ask for it. You have to receive it by faith. You're going to have to get to know God. You got to know where to position yourself for the reception, how to receive. But when you're believing God, it says, whatsoever things you desire, say you desire. Here's the beautiful part. If you get this, you're way ahead. What I'm believing God for is already paid. So therefore, the responsibility for me to purchase it or pay for it is not mine. What is my responsibility in faith? What's the Holy Spirit's responsibility? This is why God said, if you know how to give good gifts, wait until you see what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. Not only is the Holy Ghost going to bring it down from heaven, he'll receive of mine, and he'll disclose it, declare it, and transmit it to you. All things are mine. He's going to bring it down to you. God, you can write this down, is not going to bypass you in faith. He's not going to, you pray, and then God's going to manifest it out there. God's going to, if he does that, that's going to be a miracle for you. He bypassed you altogether. Sometimes he has to do that. You understand what I mean? But in true faith, God's going to, you're going to be part of the equation, just like Abraham and Sarah was. See, she needed a creative miracle in her body. But that creative miracle didn't show up in youthfulness first. It showed up in dunamis power. It was the dunamis power that got downloaded, and then the Holy Spirit took the dunamis creative power and recreated her youthfulness right on the spot. That's glorious. Put Max Factor, Maybelline, and Revlon out of business. That's how the miracle works. So you believe in God, you think you got to have faith for the healing of your body. Get this very clear. You don't have to have faith for the healing of your body. You have to have faith to receive the substance by which the Holy Ghost is going to heal your body with. He's going to take the substance and recreate. It's creative substance he used it to create the world with. And he can recreate your body. It was the original stuff that created your body in the first place. God's asking you to receive as a seed. Not plant a seed. Receive. What I believe in God for, I don't have the responsibility to pay for. Or I can't get my body healed. Sometimes that looks monumental. Get off of that. And get on to receiving directly from the God. And keep his word. You have the Holy Ghost. And believe to receive the creative substance. Because once that creative substance lands into the dominion of your spirit, the Holy Spirit's going to step in, grab that, and start creating with it. That's his specialty. That's his glory. He takes the creative things of God. He can manifest, materialize, if it's something physical in the earth. He takes the spiritual substance. That's what he does. Here's why it doesn't work. Because until it drops down into you, God has no authority to materialize. But when it drops down in you, God has ultimate authority. And what's living and dwelling up inside of you, it's greater than the world. And the world must bow down. The Holy Ghost knows it. He'll take the dunamis substance and that word that's the evidence, and he'll create with it. He'll manifest with it. He'll materialize. If it's a healing, he'll create. If it's something in the world, he'll manifest or materialize it. He doesn't go poof. There's the bus. He commands that bus to come to your life. He commands your mortgage to be paid. Because he has something to work with that's greater than anything in the world. And greater than mammon. And that's his glory. You don't have to worry about how that's going to happen. You don't have to worry about that. That's not your job. Isn't that glorious? Kind of explains faith a little bit, doesn't it? Abraham could no more turn the clock back on Sarah. 50 years? I mean, could you think of all the ways you think he's going to go and do mud baths? Okay, come on. We're going to do mud baths. That wasn't his job. There's no way he could do that. Impossible things of faith is not our job. Our job is to receive. Say receive. Keep the word. Receive the invisible dunamis power. And let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Concerning his faith, could turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Speaking of Abraham, it says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. And we covered this in detail in the first part of this message. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So Abraham transitioned in a relative three-month window, from being weak in faith, in a state of unbelief, to becoming strong in faith. Now, there was something that happened to Abraham during that time, and we know what happened because we can see it by what Sarah received. Abraham is the one that received the testimony of this faith, staggering not at the promise of God, became strong in faith, giving glory to God, that what God had promised he was able to perform. Abraham obviously received something that from the days he was laughing God and said, oh, that Ishmael might live forever, until the day he became strong in faith and actually achieved the kind of faith that caused Sarah to conceive. We know Sarah conceived, and she received off of Abraham's faith. Because Abraham received first, and then Sarah received what he got. Amen? And there's something that happened to Abraham's faith. He received this. And if you'll turn over to Hebrews 11, 11, we see exactly what Abraham received because we can see what Sarah received. Thereby seeing what Sarah received, we see what Abraham received. Isn't that deep? That's deep. Call it the deep of the noise of the waterspout. Praise the Lord. So we're going to find out what Sarah received was the secret to transforming Abraham's faith from being weak in faith to being strong in faith. Now, this is amazing because this all happened in 3 month period. It took him 24 years to get positioned for it. And God was working with him the whole time. But it only took him 3 months to go from weakness of faith to strong in faith. Through faith, Sarah did this by faith. She was actually borrowing Abraham's faith because it's obvious in Romans 4 that Abraham said he staggered not the promise of God. He considered not his own body being dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. So his faith achieved it first, and then she got in on her faith. And that's a beautiful principle here because once somebody breaks in, everybody around them breaks in. That's how faith works. It gets contagious. It gets in the atmosphere. So once you break through, everybody around you will break through. And faith will elevate. Amen. Faith will elevate. Say, elevate us. Praise the Lord. So it said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength. Say, strength. To conceive the seed. Now, more than just strength, her body was turned back. Her clock was turned back probably around the age of mid-30s to early 40s. When it said it received strength, she received not just strength, she received dunamis power. That word strength is dunamis. Say dunamis. She received creative dunamis power. So that means Abraham had received an allocation of creative dunamis power because he staggered not the promise of God. He considered not his own body dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. So they both received an allocation from heaven of creative dunamis power. They carried the word for 24 years, but it wasn't until the creative dunamis power was added to that word. Once it was added to that word, it caused an explosion of their faith. It met the condition of faith. And once it met the condition of faith, then God moved, turned their clock back, turned their age back, and bam, she conceived. She conceived by dunamis power. And that's how we're going to conceive, by dunamis power. We're carriers of the word. I don't care if we've had a dead womb. I don't care if you've been at it for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I'm talking about spiritually. You may haven't been able to give birth because your womb's been dead, but God can open the womb. That's his specialty. Amen. He can open the spiritual womb, but it's going to take creative dunamis power. That is the final attribute, foundational component that will cause the birth. Amen. That's what we're looking for, is the allocation of creative dunamis power. Say creative dunamis power. Hallelujah. Now, go real quick now, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3, because we see Paul, that we discussed this in the first couple of teachings of this, but I want to get back into this, because Paul, not only does he pray this in Ephesians, he prays it in Colossians 2. He prays this prayer, and he's praying a prayer specifically for the allocation of creative dunamis power. And it causes something to happen, and we find the secret here, what happened to Abraham's faith. We'll see it in this particular prayer, which in turn causes Sarah's faith to come alive. Amen? Faith can come alive in a moment's notice. That's the beauty of faith. Even though you've been struggling, we've been carrying the promises and haven't seen it, all of a sudden we get something from heaven. That's why I said every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. The Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God will send what you need and it's perfect. Amen? He's going to send what the Holy Spirit needs to manifest the promise. Amen? Glory to God. So, Ephesians 3, I want to look at this promise. Again, for this cause we bow our knees, verse 14, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, bowing the knees, he's getting in position. Amen? Bowing the knees is not just bowing the knees. Bowing the knees is entering into the inner sanctuary, like we talked about in Matthew 6. When you pray, enter into that hidden closet, enter into your closet or the inner sanctuary of the kingdom of God, and shut the door. and the Father which is in that secret place. Wherever you got to go, you got to get where the Father is. Amen. When you pray, you got to get, Paul knew this, when you pray, you got to be in the presence of the Father. You got to be where he is. Amen. We learn how to pray in the jurisdiction of the kingdom, not in the jurisdiction of this earth. You might be in the earth, but you're not in the earth. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. For this cause we bow our knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so we're praying that he would grant you. Now the Father's going to give the good gift and the perfect gift that James says, where he's asking for a grant. A grant. What is a grant? It's a free gift. It means you can't work for it. Amen. You got to receive. Say receive. So we're going to have to get in receiving mode. We're going to get receive, 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 receive. Everything's about receiving the kingdom. You're not having to manifest the promise. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Listen, when God tells you that he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Amen. But you have a part to play. When you get the attitude, well, God's going to do it one day. When he gets ready, I'll be here. You're never going to get anything like that. That's not how you receive. That is a give up mentality. Okay, I'm going to sit on the bench. God will do it when he gets ready. Well, you're going to sit on the bench for a long time. You have a very intricate part to play in prayer. It's the part that you play that's so important. The part that you don't play is also important. You do not manifest it. You'll be used in the manifestation process, but you are not the one to manifest. And if you take that reign, that's taking the reins of Ishmael. And when you do that, you're going to birth a Ishmael. That's what took Abraham 24 years to get out of him. Amen. That's why, I mean, he could birth in 3 months, but he had to get Ishmael out of him. And that took a long time. We got to get the do mentality out of us and realize the promise of God is going to be done God's way. Amen. So he says, he grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now, the riches of his glory, same wording where God said, I'll supply all of your need according to the riches of his glory. This speaks of the inheritance of Christ. Everything that Christ inherited for us, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, all of it is laid up in heaven for you. You have an inheritance. Jesus spoke when he stood in front of Paul in the eyewitness state. He said, you're going to preach inheritance among the nations. You preach forgiveness of sin to the lost, but you'll preach inheritance to those that are saved. Chuck's the one that originally broke that. That's what we're doing. We're preaching inheritance. So riches and glory is everything Christ inherited. That's why you got to be familiar with what Christ inherited for you, because anything he inherited up there, whether it's going to relate to a tangible blessing or a spiritual blessing or a healing. See, the Holy Spirit, it's going to come down out of the riches and glory. Amen. Father's going to allocate it. That's the perfect gift that James is speaking. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father. He is going to send something to you. And without you getting that, you're not going to get the proper manifestation. You got to know what to look for. I'm not receiving from the Father what I'm actually asking for. When you pray, believe you receive from the Father, and then you shall have, because once you get what the Father gives you, it's a perfect gift. Say perfect. Once you get that, the Holy Spirit is going to take that and immediately begin his specialty, which is either to create a miracle in your body or to manifest a promise, manifest a material object, materialize that blessing in the earth, cause the systems of the world to bow down. That's the mystery and the secret of faith. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So he grant you according to the riches of his glory. And he's going to tell you what this whole prayer is about. To be strengthened with might. That word might. So you got to understand this wording here. Might is dunamis. He's praying for the allocation of dunamis to come down out of the riches of the glory that's in Christ Jesus. From the Father, coming out of the riches and glory or the heavenly trust account in heaven. And that dunamis creative power coming down into our spirit. And then he says, by his spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one doing the transference. He does all of it. I mean, he teaches, trains, equips, leads, guides, but he also does the transference. Not only is he going to transfer the Son, he wants to transfer it. Because he's going to use that to manifest your promise. Amen? He's wanting them to grow in the love of God. And see, he's actually going to equate the dunamis power to love here. It'll equate to anything when you get it. He transforms it. Amen. So it's by his spirit. Where does it come first? The inner man. It's always going to come down from heaven into your inner man. God deposits into the inner man. God the Father, when he gives a gift, he gives it into your inner man. Amen? He'll send the word, and he'll send dunamis power. And he sent the Holy Spirit. Those are the major gifts the Father gives. For he gave his son. Amen? Now he sends the word, sends the Holy Spirit, and then he sends the dunamis power, the creative dunamis power. These are the good and perfect gifts that come from the Father. They're perfect because they'll work every time. Amen? Hallelujah. Into the inner man. So your inner man's receiving something from the Father. That is your 100% focus. When you're in faith, 100% focus on the allocation of his word. We have word. Amen? We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Before this century, that wasn't even hardly available. I mean, be isolated incidences, but the Holy Spirit, the operation was fully restored back into the earth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, amen? Amen? So, but that was the good gift. It's a perfect. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit. You're not getting transference. Watch this. Now, this is the secret to what happened to Abraham right here. The granted, the core of the riches is going to be strengthened with all dunamis power by his Holy Spirit in your man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. It calls an indwelling of Christ. Well, with Abraham's day before being born again, but Abraham was operating in a count of righteousness, and he could actually receive him and David, according to Romans 4, they were both operating in a count of righteousness. They could receive the same way you did. God was allowing them. He did not hold the dead nature of their spirit against them because they couldn't be born again in their day. But God didn't hold that against them and allowed them to operate like we did. So they were getting direct transferences from our dispensation. That's what happened to Abraham. He got a transference of dunamis power, and him and Sarah turned their clocks back. But what it does, it caused an explosion. When it says Christ may dwell in your heart, that's the exploding. That's what you're looking for. That's what takes your faith from weakness to strength. It's the explosion right there. What happens when dunamis creative power comes? When it comes, it causes an explosion inside you. It brings you from weakness of faith to where you no longer stagger at the promise of God. It elevates your inner man. It elevates your faith. It causes an indwelling. Amen? That's what happened to Abraham, and that caused and turned their clocks back. Christ may dwell in your heart. Here it also equated to the love of God. You may be rooted and grounded in love, able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. We see here that this allocation of dunamis will actually aid in the development of our love walk. So walking in love has a lot to do with being empowered for Christ to dwell in us to be able to walk in love. Amen? Because you're not walking in human love, you're walking in the God kind of love. And for the God kind of love, you're going to need an empowerment to walk in the God kind of love. If you don't believe me, just start praying to walk in love. Make it your prayer 50 times a day. And you'll soon find out the difference between your love and God's love. Because you start praying to walk in love, you're going to have 50 things a day come at you, giving you an opportunity to walk in love. Amen? And you're going to find the limitation of your love real fast. Because your love's going to come to a limitation. Then you're going to stop praying. There's two things you really only need to pray for is more love and more patience. Because you're going to get that regardless. What you are to pray for more is, Father, grant me some dunamis power so Christ can dwell in my heart so I can walk in your love, not my love. Grant me the empowerment of dunamis for Christ to dwell so I can have the God kind of love. Amen? Verse 19, we'll close with this. It says, now unto him that is able. See, remember what Abraham said? He said he staggered not at the promise of God in Romans 4, but was strong in faith, given the glory of God. He's able to perform what he had promised. Now, look at this. Now unto him that's able. Well, if God, I know that he's able. He's able if you give him what he needs. The Holy Spirit's the one that's going to perform this promise. For him to perform that promise for you, he's going to have something resident in your spirit. Verse 19. It does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to his power that's working in us. Hallelujah. They know the love of Christ passes knowledge, you might be filled. They know the love of Christ, the passes knowledge that you might be filled with the fullness of God. So dunamis power goes to love. Love goes to fullness. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say it. Glory. So power, love, fullness. Glory. That's what we need. So we need to get into receiving mode.